At the same time, this instrument is now going to walk along from one palace to the next. this fly. See, this is not even fly. Desires and sentiment is there. But he says that Krishna is there in all the palaces, in different activities. So, because although Krishna has a form, that form is not limited by stage. It can be at different places at the same time. This is a different aspect which is telling, rather than in Krishna's own Vishwarup, that the universe is within him. What he's telling over here? That actually Krishna can be at different places in the universe. And then, he says interestingly, another aspect is that actually when Krishna is performing his pastimes, actually in each of the palaces the time is different. In some palaces the morning and Krishna is doing his morning meditation, in other palaces it's daytime and Krishna is just about to pick up the core, in other places it's palaces lunchtime and Krishna is having his lunch, other palaces it's evening time and Krishna is playing with his children. And just say, he says that actually the time also is in the palace of this. So in this way, the order of entity is limited by space and by time. Now, Vaji can exist in only one time. If I am here at 9:15, then I cannot simultaneously existing at 3:15 somewhere else, simultaneously. And 3:15 comes, I will say. So we are moved by time. The Krishna transcends time. So, it's a little difficult for us to conceive this, but the idea is that space and time are like a fabric, and Krishna exists out of the fabric of space and time. And because space and time are under his control, he can project himself, he can manifest himself anywhere within space and time, at any place and any time. Or at many places and many times also. So, that is the difference. We are below space and time. Krishna is above space and time. Space and time are characteristics of material nature. The condition space. The soul is subordinate to Maya. So, Krishna is beyond space and time, and within space and time, he can manifest himself wherever and whenever that he wants. Not only wherever and whenever, he can manifest in many places at any time. So this is one example he gives of the achievement of Krishna.
Yes.
You are
looking at the
point here is this particular pastime stolen from the canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is to illustrate the inconceivable potency of Krishna. Now, normally it's like in the normal times. The one night is one night. But when Krishna was dancing in the gopi, one night of expansion, one night of Brahma. So Krishna controls that. It is not that what is being said here is the way it happens every day. Normally, every day Krishna goes out in the morning and he comes out from all the palaces and all the forms become one and they go out and he goes and then he says one Krishna in the court and then he comes in the palace, in the court and then he comes back and manifests separately. That is true. So the point again is that time is under Krishna's control. So it is not that every day it is different time and different days. No. Actually, at this particular pastime, it is demonstrated that Krishna was manifesting in different time zones at the same time. But normally, either in Vrindavan or in Dwarka, Krishna does not manifest in all the worlds. What makes Gita sweet is that normally Krishna does not manifest in all the worlds. And Krishna is God. And he is present everywhere. Then what is the point of this stealing butter? Everything is inside him only. Butter is also inside him only. There is no point in this stealing butter. He does not manifest his omnipotence. He does not manifest sometimes his omniscience. And he goes into the gopi's house and says, sir, there is the butter, So, in Leela, Krishna normally conceives his godhood. And occasionally, suddenly he manifests his godhood. Just like when in the Brahma Mohan Leela, initially when the Gopas, when the cows have gone away, I go to search for the doctor. Krishna is searching. And he is omniscient, why does he have to search? And then he can't find, and he comes back and he says, Gopala was not there. He meets a temple. And then he manages omniscience. Oh, Brahmaji has done it. I will teach him. So, the concept of Leela is something which is very mysterious. This is God who is all powerful, does not delight merely in exhibiting his power. A wealthy person, a millionaire, yes, he is wealthy, but when he is at home, he is religious. He would like that his religious treatment as another nice person, another loved one. So he may act like a beggar. We know that example, all of us know that example. So, when Krishna is at home with his devotees in Vrindavan, he is performing Leela. So Leela can be compared to Rama. How many of you have seen my PPT on Rasleela? Explanation of Rasleela. I think last time when I had come, I had taken Rasleela. You were there, I think. Rasleela was who I had taken. I am 3 years old. So? Okay. So anyway, we get time, we'll go through. But the thing is that Krishna, when he performs Leela, the Leela is like a drama, a play. Now the word drama is very carefully used. Because drama conveys something which is temporary and unreal. But neither of these two apply to Krishna. It is real and it is not just temporary, it is eternal. So, but why the word drama is used? Because Krishna is acting the word. And the word drama also has a name, which is the verse in the first canto. Maya Yavanuka Chanda Avgyan Hoshimogi Nalakshate Mugarucha Nato Nante Dharovi. So, there is similar verse in the prayers of Vajendra Vajin. Many verses come. In Vajendra's prayers of surrender, in 8th canto, 3rd chapter, there also the verse is Yathana Tasya Vrithi Cheshito. So, as a dancer cannot be understood, as a player cannot be understood when he is acting in a drama. Now, Chakravarti Pada's commentary to this verse is additional insight. He says that somebody is performing a traditional dance, like say Bharatanatyam. And Bharatanatyam is performing his hands like this, and eyes like this, and body like this. Now, all the hands and bodily motions are actually going to convey something. Isn't it? So maybe Bharatanatyam is acting like Yashodhana, is acting like Akantan, is acting like Yashodhana, is acting like Krishna. I think there is solar there, there is solar there. So he says, just here, if we want to relish that Bharatanatyam dance, we have to know in advance what is the past. If we don't know in advance what the past is, the expression will just appear in between. We will not be able to understand what is being conveyed by it. Similarly, he says, Yathana Tasya Vrithi Cheshito. So, and when we observe Krishna's pastime, in advance we have to know Krishna's position. Otherwise, if we observe Krishna's pastime, we will find that this is entertaining. That's why it says, without Krishna Tattva, Krishna Leela is amusing. It's entertaining. With Krishna Tattva, Krishna Leela is amazing. Amazing. How that Supreme Lord. Chikhe Hidayasya Paya Gadhini Bahirgatayam Rajanayikayam Bhutvaya Kheshvam Kapatena Suttam Bhalam Mukundam Manasasmarami Chikhe Nidayasya. That's the Yashoda. She keeps her curd and milk and butter in nice pots. Payo Dadhi. Payo is in Dadhi is curd. Pahe Sataya. Then she goes on. Vrajanayikaya. Yashoda man is called Vrajanayika. And the Madhuri Lapashtra going on. Radharani is called Vrajanayika. And the Vasani Lapashtra going on. Vishuddhamai is called Vrajanayika. And then she has gone on because she has put Krishna to sleep. Or so she thinks. Krishna is not asleep. Immediately after her, she gets out. Vaya Teshtam. It's all the matter. The curd to his heart tended. And before Vishuddhamai comes there, Kapatena Kuptam. tends to go to sleep. He is fast asleep, apparently, in the noise of understanding. And but Krishna, I was told it, Krishna doesn't respond. Krishna, are you so much better? Krishna is rubbing his eyes. What happened? I am hungry. Are you so much better? Have a tea. I want butter. I am hungry. Give me your milk. Cup of tea. So, Krishna was a sweet pastor. Thank you. You know, when the European intellectuals, when the European
scholars, thinkers, they came to India for the first time, they came to Mathura, Vrindavan.
And they saw the sweet pictures of a small, endearing looking baby with butter on his face and hand in a butter pot. They thought, who is this?
God.
What is he doing?
Simba. They got intellectual sponsors.
They couldn't make head or tail out of it. Their idea of God is somebody who sits at the clouds and throws some thunderbolt on the sinful head. Sends them down to sends the sinful down to hell forever.
They couldn't comprehend how can God feel better. So they comprehend only when they understand the essential motive of God's action. That is love. Krishna wants to reciprocate love with his devotees, and therefore he covers his Godhood. So that devotees can reciprocate love with him. Because if they always remember that he is God, then they cannot treat him as a child. And that's what happens in the 10th chapter, when Krishna says, Vishwaroop, Madhmatika start talking prayer. Start offering prayers, he said, hey, this is our Savas. He said, you are offering prayers, you can tell him. You make the colors. You make your Maya cover. But she again starts thinking him to be her child. So, Krishna Lila was telling it's like a drama. Now, in the drama, there is an actor, there is a director, and there is a script writer. So Krishna is the central actor, he is the main hero. And Yogamaya is the script writer. Yogamaya is the director. He directs. Krishna will do like this, Shalamaya will do like this, Aharam will do like this, Varnamaka will do like this, and then all the Sakis will do like this, like this, like this, all these things. And so now the normally the director controls the actor. And okay, move your hand like this, you say you like this, do this like this. So then Krishna is controlled by Yogamaya. As I saw this in Rasila chapter, chapter 29 of the 10th canto. Krishna prays the Rasila. You only time that happens in that verse, that phrase comes Yogamaya Upashitam. He took shelter of Yogamaya. He is exactly opposite to what comes in the first canto. 7th chapter, Mayam Chitat Apashitam. In the Asatayam's vision, we see Mayam Chitat Apashitam. Maya is under his control. But here, Yoga Maya Upashitam. That he has taken shelter of Maya. This is of course not Mahamaya, Yoga Maya. Why does he take shelter of Yoga Maya? So that he can perform the Vipassana in his vision. And it is described that Krishna allows himself to be covered. A Yoga Maya. So that means he forgets that he is God temporarily, so that he can let us pass. It's not that Krishna is just acting. Otherwise, see, generally, even when we do drama, to the extent we can actually enter into the character which we are depicting, to that extent we can experience the relationship. If a person who is a millionaire is acting as a millionaire, I have a millionaire, I'm just doing a drama, then he can't relish it. And that's why the Lord Ramchandra, all the sages knew that he is God. But in another Lord descends, he tells all the sages, don't tell me that I am God because I am playing the role of a small, I am playing the role of a human being, an ideal human being. Just like, suppose one of your friends is playing the role of say, Kamsa. And he is a nice devotee, even he is playing the role of Kamsa. And then as soon as he got on the stage, can't catch him on TV, knocking it down and killing him, and everybody's angry. Hey, that is my friend. Shut up. Don't tell us anything. You want to listen to Ram. You want to have emotions towards God, come sir. You want to hear the emotions of affection towards him. So, actually, emotions become more authentic when the forgetfulness becomes more and more. or we enter more and more into that role which we are playing. So Krishna, in order to truly relish love's delights, lets himself be covered by yoga maya. Now if he is covered by yoga maya, then how is he supreme? That is the special place. If yoga maya is directing Krishna, so she is controlling Krishna. But yoga maya is directing Krishna according to a script, according to a plan. And that script writer is Krishna. So, in this way, Krishna is simultaneously controlled and in control. This is Achindya Vedave in the Leela of Krishna. In this way, Krishna actually performs his pastimes. So, you have a question? Through the gopis and Saraswati. And that was the actual reason why he entered. Otherwise, you know, we are always asked a very simple question. The gopis are saying, always separated from Krishna. They could just have gone to Mathura. Krishna was almost 12 years in Mathura, I think. They could have been Krishna. But actually, the whole point is, the gopis relish Krishna in a particular mood. And Krishna is in Mathura, they can't relish him in that mood. So they want him to come back. And Krishna, because he wants to do the experience of Vipralamba, he chooses to stay away. Now, of course, Krishna tells the gopis when he meets them in the Kurukshetra. He says that actually, I am always in your heart. And from my manifestation, how I am in your heart, I am always reciprocating with you. And so, Krishna actually answers at different levels. You see, even when he reappears in front of the gopis in the Ratri Lakshmi after disappearing. So the gopis indirectly ask Krishna a question. They say, Krishna, there are different kinds of lovers. There are some lovers who even somebody loves the little reciprocate. There are other lovers who reciprocate to the extent that it's an opposite. And there are others who reciprocate far more than what the love is offering. So among these, like I said, different categories. And among these, who is the best according to you? Now this is the indirect statement of Krishna. If we offer ourselves to you, you are not reciprocating. So that is their complaint of Krishna. And Krishna is at different levels. And one first he says, actually, when my devotees are separated from me, then they learn my value. And in order that they value me and my bhakti, I sometimes separate myself from them and create difficulty. And then Krishna stops and the tears come from his eyes. And he says, but the gopi, this is not life. You are just, that is for ordinary devotees.
and you are far above these things. You are topmost world in this. And I am indebted to you so much that I cannot repay. Now, Bhagavad. So, Krishna offers you answer the different levels. So, first level, he says, sometimes I always become proud of you. Sometimes I always don't value you. But he says, no, actually, I wanted to demonstrate to the world how great is your love. And now I have seen it, the world has seen it. And I am indebted to you for your intense love. Although I abandoned you, I called you and then I abandoned you. You didn't abandon me, you didn't reject me. Ashishyava Adratam Vishnu. That you yourself demonstrated. So I have surrendered to you. That way, the Lord made you different levels of explanations. It's like, one level of explanation is that the gopis became proud. So, Krishna went away from them, with Radharani. Now, as you could describe, that actually the gopis did not become proud. But the gopis wanted Radharani's unique position with them also. And then, it is that Radharani became proud, so Krishna went away from them. But that is also not fair. That is only a superficial understanding. Actually, initially Radharani felt very happy that Krishna is giving me this huge attention. And hence, I started thinking of Pasati, Jalita, Vishaka, or all as dear to her as a life. He said, you know, how much anguish she must be suffering in the praise of Krishna. How can I alone enjoy Krishna and all the other? And he said, what should I do? And she thought, you know, we are walking so fast in this forest. I'm sure other gopis will be searching for me. So, if I tell Krishna that I'm tired, please carry me. If he has to carry me, then you have to walk slowly. And walk slowly, other gopis will carry me. So, then he tells Krishna, very tired, please carry me. And Krishna, I cannot walk much. Krishna gets out of his hand. Because this is a forest and I cannot get a palanquin for you. So, you can kindly walk on my sit on my shoulder. And then Krishna is asleep. Radharani realizes what has happened. Her thought was concerned for her gopi kaki. But she thinks that Krishna has thought I was going to come for her. So, to say that the gopis became proud is a very external thing. There are much higher dynamics going on also. So, like that, Krishna may also give a reason at different levels. Like the external level, the understanding is that Krishna was busy caught up in other obligations. But at a higher level, Krishna wanted to give a Pralambha experience. It's like at external level, Bhishma fought on the side of the Kauravas because he was obligated by food. At internal level, wanted to demonstrate Krishna's supremacy, both in terms of power and in terms of law. That's what he did. She is a beautiful lady, Yogamaya. She exists in the spiritual world. And generally, she does not perform past. She does not directly participate in past tense. She is in the background. And she arranges for the past tense. And two of her primary associates are Vrinda Devi and Pauranamasi. So, Pauranamasi is the advisor. And Vrinda Devi is the resource provider. But Yogamaya doesn't come forward. She doesn't directly participate in the past tense. She is in the background. In one sense, all the devis that are there, they are the expansions of Radharani. So, in that sense, you can say that Subhadra and Yogamaya are the same. But I have not read anything specifically like this. Generally, this role of Subhadra in Rajlila is not manifest much. It's only that, from Dwarka when they go back, Subhadra manifests in that form. That goes back. So that is the only role. Subhadra does not have an active role in Vajrila, as far as I know. Which?
And
I tell you, the question is, this is that this is the person you may ask the category. So are these three personified by particular personality? Like Radharani, personified, Ladini, Bakramji Samde, and Sandini, this is Nandamaharishi Ramani. I tell you the principle. The principle is that when we want to serve Krishna, first of all, there has to be knowledge about service. Then there has to be facility to serve Krishna. And then there has to be a reciprocation that results by serving Krishna. So Samvet provides the knowledge about serving Krishna. Sandini provides the facility for serving Krishna. And Ladini provides the ecstasy when we serve Krishna. So I'll take. What does Samvet do? Knowledge. How should I serve Krishna? You know, what if somebody wants to cook for Krishna? What would Krishna like to eat today? So that, what kind of dharma would Krishna like to hear today? The Samvet provides knowledge of how to serve Krishna. After the knowledge is provided, Sandini provides the facility. Okay, here are these flowers, here are these petals, here is the thread, here are the feeders. What does that do, dharma? Sandini provides the facility. And then, when with the knowledge provided by Samvet and the facility provided by Sandini, when we serve Krishna, when the garland is offered to Krishna, then the Ladini provides the happiness. So it is described, Ladini Karaya Krishna Ananda Aswadana, Ladini Dwara Krishna Tare Bhaktera Poshana. So Ladini performs two functions. Ladini Karaya Krishna Ananda Aswadana. Ladini gives happiness to Krishna. And Ladini Dwara Krishna Tare Bhaktera Poshana. Ladini gives nourishment to the devotee. So, when we are serving Krishna, these three factors are involved. Now, in the material world, also there is some kind of knowledge, there is some kind of facility, and there is some kind of reciprocation. But here, the Samvet, knowledge is not of how to serve Krishna. The knowledge of how to enjoy separate function. And so that is the Mahamaya Shakti, which first of all creates the illusion and illusory perception and corresponding illusory desire. And then we are provided senses, the facilities to fulfill those desires. So in the material world, there is a knowledge. A man wants to get attracted against the seduce of women. And then he may get quite a car, he puts a perfume. He does this, he does that, that is something. But then, in this material world, because he has a separate from Krishna, that Ladini manifests as Durga, the Trishul. And when we use the knowledge given by Maya, and the facility given by Maya, the illusion verification, Maya in return gives us threefold. So we experience not ecstasy, but we experience misery. Oh, yes. Yeah. But the principle is the same. So now what is the role of the Guru? See, the fun, and everything begins with perception. Perception. So, in some ways, it is the fundamental foundation for all action. So, the Guru is that person who takes on or who manifests the Samvet Shakti from the spiritual world and gives us the knowledge of how to serve. How and why is service. So, if you see, the facilities of this material world are the same for a devotee and a non-devotee. The laptop is the same which we are using. The laptop is the same which some other students are using for watching movies or cricket matches or whatever. So, but the spiritual master uses knowledge. Use the Vedas. This should be used for Krishna consciousness. So, in this material world also, the same facilities that are there can be spiritualized. They use for Krishna consciousness. And to the extent we can spiritualize them, to the extent we can experience spiritual happiness. So, here, if the spiritual master uses knowledge, we use it for Krishna's service, then
by the facilities provided by material nature, then we cannot say specialization happens. Now can you say, is there any difference between the spiritual happiness experienced in the material world and the spiritual happiness experienced in the social world? Can you say, what is the difference? Is there any difference? Materialistic person watching different is experiencing happiness. So you enjoy that the way he enjoys this. What is the difference? That his cricket match enjoyment is temporary. Kirtan enjoyment is also temporary. The Kirtan gets over the enjoyment stop. So the spiritual enjoyment is not eternal, it's also temporary.
Experience.
Is it temporary? When the Kirtan ends, the ecstasy ends, isn't it? And you may say that sometimes only you are doing cricket matches. Only when you win the cricket matches, then you can experience the ecstasy. But in the Kirtan also, you don't experience ecstasy every day. And sometimes you experience ecstasy.
Yes, to the degree we are spiritually
oriented, that degree we can. To the extent if you only love cricket, you will also enjoy. Whether you win or you lose, your love should transcend your nationality. Just love cricket for the sake of cricket. Then you will always experience happiness by watching cricket.
Yes. Get some Andrew.
Love for Krishna is increasing. You call that purification. I call this purification. No, that is your presentation. No, I don't believe in scriptures. You continue loving cricket. This is one good point. You see, there is a difference between value judgments and facts. So, this is one point you can see that. Death is going to be a judgment. Now, of course, you can argue you don't know how whether you are really going to continue your love of Krishna after death also. That is one argument you should give. But the point is, surely love of Krishna is not going to continue after death. Something more? Any other points you want to say? This is a valid point. Anything else? So there is one more point, very important point, which all of you know but you are not mentioning it. Somebody else would like to say?
Person is spiritually advanced, for him, he can go on, he has done the preparation for himself. He can dance the So the happiness which we get, it may appear to be the same, but we get frustrated with that. We get frustrated with that. But for Bhakti Rasa, it is always from the spirit of
the mind. Yes, okay, sir, it's fine. One last one.
Both are going to tell me to stop.
In this is dependent on
Correct. It's not dependent on external circumstances. Very true. Very important point.
Krishna
is always there in our heart. You can say, no, I love Krishna irrespective of whether any concern is or not. But still the treatment has to go on. And this is what you are control, isn't it? So Krishna consciousness is not dependent on the extreme.
Yeah?
Very, very insider answer.
It's okay. But you talk about envy of Krishna is
now we are not only talking about to devotees, we are talking about related to non-devotees. So, the true answer, generally, okay, I'll talk about this point, later. See, whenever we speak, often Prabhupada uses the word like fools and rascals. We, in modern language, are called as value judgments. Value judgments. This is right, this is wrong. So now, value judgments can be very alienating to people. And there is one conversation of the Prabhupada which we took in our Vrinda Canto, which I'm going to have a taking. So, now this person is saying, so this devotee is telling, he's playing the role of, Prabhupada is playing the role of atheist, and he's saying that, you know, you say that you are in Chandi Hare Krishna, I am your Vrinda Hare Krishna. This is temporary. I am also temporary. So as long as I am there, I will enjoy. But the third class happens. You consider third class. I consider first class. So if we just go on and on rejecting all that. And so the point here is saying, when we do value judgments, you know, for example, say this is abominable. And this is a when you do value judgments, you know, they can be very alienating for those who don't share our values. For those who don't share our values, value judgments can be very alienating. For example, some new boy comes and he asks, what do you think about the so-and-so karma? Now, he may be any person, he's a Mayavadi, and if we say the rest, she doesn't know our values according to his values. We and that now are the same level. And we call him a rascal, we call him a fool or whatever, we completely alienate. So, you know, first we have to teach values, then we can give value judgment. If we give value judgment before teaching values, we ruin preaching. Because, you know, how do you expect people to accept our statements according to our values, and they don't know our values? If you see, Srila Prabhupada uses the word fools and rascals mostly in his morning walks. And morning walks are mostly with his close disciples. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta also used strong words for Maya. He would even take the names and use the words for them. But the Gaudiya Math, which you publish magazines like Gaudiya and others based on the lectures, they had a policy sanctioned by Bhaktisiddhanta that when they would publish his lectures, all names would get edited out. The visions were there?
Yeah.
So the point again is that if we do value judgment without explaining our values, we simply alienate them. So first we have to explain our values, and when other people share our values, then our value judgment will make sense to you. From the mundane point of view, so service is very good. It's very noble. And he says, envy of Krishna and the mode of goodness. First of all, they don't know what is mode of goodness. They don't know what is envy of Krishna.
what sense would they make out of it? It just doesn't make any sense. So we have to speak in a very intelligent and sensitive way.
In fact, this was a question which Radha Shyamprabhu asked Maharaj last to Agar Maharaj before he left. He asked this question. Nowadays there is a lot of trend of good without God. Whether it's environmentalism, nationalism, social service, so many things, being good without God. So how do you approach this? Maharaj said that actually at least it is good that they are good. And if you present properly, they will be very open to God. But if you condemn them, then from their good, they will go down to bad. They will neither come to God, nor will they say they are good. So therefore, you have to question again. So this is a very important point, that value judgment should be given only after values are explained. Without explaining values, then we give value judgments. And we alienate people, we ruin each. So, now, and regarding this particular question, Javadhi, that, okay, you enjoy, somebody just enjoys cricket, they enjoy people. What is the difference? So, actually, both need seem temporary at our level. And the fact is that the temporariness is created by our material body. Just as a sportsman will get tired after a few hours of playing cricket. We will get tired of some type of kirtan. So the material body will always create limitation. But as you are telling, we will get purified by chanting. And when we get purified by chanting, by performing devotional service, then our bhakti will not depend on our body. At our level, initially, we have to do physical activity. It's like, why is kirtan much easier to observe other than japa? But there is so much physical activity also involved. So our consciousness, when we are in the mode of passion more and more, we need to physically express ourselves. But as we become more and more advanced, you see the soul, Krishna is here, the soul is here. But the Krishna Bahirmukh, so that's turned away. So in the body is consciousness. So now what we are doing is, I think Krishna who is in the heart, he is manifested. It's manifesting through our bodily senses, through the holy name. So, when we chant the holy name, we are connecting with Krishna through our bodily senses. But as we experience Krishna more and more, through our bodily senses, the soul awakens. When the soul awakens more and more, then the soul connection with Krishna is direct, independent of the body. Direct, because the attraction to Krishna is developed, the remembrance of Krishna is unceasing. And then there is ecstasy without even the connection with Krishna, without even the physical or actual expression of that connection. So that's why as the devotee becomes more and more purified, the body may become more and more sick. The person will not be able to do physical activity, but it is absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna. If Jagannath Babaji is so sick, he couldn't even lift his eyebrows, but still he was chanting. At whatever volume he could chant, he was absorbed in chanting. So now there is nothing, because there is nothing spiritual about the care. It's always dependent on the body. And the body gets exhausted, body becomes sick, one becomes frustrated. Yet, as long as we have the material body, even our spiritual happiness is simple. But the difference is, because spiritual happiness is not inherently dependent on the body, it is inherently independent of the body. And the more we experience spiritual happiness, the more we come to the spiritual level, then we eventually experience the happiness independent of the body. And that's how our happiness will become development. Is that clear? Yes. Maybe what it is, the conditioned souls cannot serve Krishna directly, they have to serve through the medium of a liberated soul.
I was speaking of one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, so he was saying that materialism becomes there after greed and lust, and whenever devotees get pinched by greed and lust, and this is those consumer devotees, those who are not serving Radha Krishna, they are pinched by greed and lust, and the united souls are not even affected by greed and lust. So that kind of
okay, so?
So those serving Krishna, they are not affected by greed and lust. Those who are trying to serve Radha Krishna, they are affected by greed and lust. So, I think different devotees will have the second day thing.
Okay. There are things, that's why there are things of bhakti. You know, when we do our things about sadhana, sabaihi sadhana bhakti, we have always been ecstasy, Bhakti Sama Sri described, and eventually we come to a stage called thai bhav. Thai bhav means steady ecstasy. So once he comes thai bhav, then we are undistracted by anything else. So then we are distracted, right? So as the earlier we were discussing, every word has a deliberate meaning, a normal meaning and a restricted meaning. You don't know this, but yeah. So there is a bhakti, a bhakta also has various meanings. You know, at one level, the stricter meaning would be bhakta would mean only a ISKCON devotee, isn't it? At another level, it could be a Vaishnava. At another level, it could mean every soul, there is potentially devotee. So, at different places, different meanings are conjugated. So Krishna says that only when we are free from all sinful activity, Ishanta, Antagatam, Bhavam, then Bhagavate Vam, Dhrudhata. So this Krishna is talking about the stage after Anashvayati. That time we will become Dhrudhata, hard, when we come to Nishtha. But before that also we will practice bhakti. But we will not be Dhrudhata. In that sense we can say it is not bhakti. Because it is not really with the intention to please Krishna. We often can see the arrow senses also. Sometimes in meditation also to see the spiritual master. Then Srila Maharaj and one day we call Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes I call in Maya. What's your Prabhupada? You are always in Maya, sometimes you come to Krishna consciousness. So that's how it is in our speech. So there are specific connotations over there. But in a broad sense, yes, we are all practicing yoga. In a specific sense, we are not at the advanced sense of the devotion. That is not. You have any other question? Let's move forward. So we discussed the Achintyatva. Now we move onward to next point. Prabhupada gives the example of how the absolute truth can be far yet near. Yeah. We should not take it for granted.
We should not take it for granted that because we cannot see God with our eyes, the Lord has no quality existence. Sri Vishwamishra refutes this argument by declaring that the Lord is far away, the religion also. The word of the Lord is beyond the human cry and we have no expression. Even this one is that. The human cry extends so far from what is seen on the spiritual sky is altogether beyond it. There is such a sky still far, far away from the real viewer. It's confirmed that the world has been pointed. But despite the Lord being so far away, he can at once, with his left hand after 10, descend before us, his feet speaker in that of the mind, or the way. He can also run so quickly that no one can surpass it, already being prepared.
So at different places Prabhupada gives three explanations. One he says towards the end of the support is for the non-devotee he is tadure. For the devotee he is tadantite. So for the non-devotee very far. For the devotee is very close. And tadure refers to Bhagwan, this is spiritual word. Tadantike refers to Paramatma, right next to us, closer than the closest in our heart. And that is the specific thing that we say over here is that how when the devotee calls, although he is so far away, he comes instantaneously. So Sri Vaishnava, in their elaboration, Sri Vaishnava in the elaboration of the Gajendra pastime, they quote from the different Puranas, they explain that actually when Gajendra called out to the Lord, Narayana Akhila Virodhaku Vandhanam. So, we called like that, the Lord immediately came from Vaikuntha. It was coming so fast, you know, by Karuna, it was very fast. But the Lord's anxiety to reach his devotee was so great. That he was telling Lord, faster, faster, faster. And he wouldn't reach him. And when Garuda got exhausted, then Garuda fainted. And then the Lord, for the Lord, Garuda wasn't Jewish, he was concerned about Garuda. So that same Garuda who was carrying him, the Lord immediately got off and he carried Garuda in his arms. And then he was running, zooming to the air. And then you know, God had manifested water and sprinkled some water on Garuda. And he was running around, he was running so fast that his dhoti slipped off.
Then he used two other arms to tie up his dhoti again. So he was holding Garuda, giving water, and tying his dhoti also. And he ran like that, he came to Gajesha. So, that is, Lord is so far away, but instantaneously he can come.
And he can be in anxiety, that is, carrying him so fast. His spirit also is insufficient for the Lord. That is the meaning that the Lord is called by love. When he's called up, if there is no love, then the Lord is very far away. But he's called with love, he's immediately very close to us. Now, how is for us this seems to be killed? He's very far away. How will he come here? Prabhupada says this happens through deity worship. So the Lord manifests his attention. Tad dure, tad antike. Okay. So, next thing I will talk about deity worship. Who would like to read? You we'll just read the paragraph, then I will show you the PPT. Please start.
Yes, when the personality of Godhead comes before us, in exactly. Such foolish experience is condemned by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 6.1.
Is it time for Nana? Avajananti mamuha, manushit and manushit.
When he says that the foolish derided him, considering him a mortal being, he is not a mortal being, nor does he come before us with a body produced by the people himself. There are many so-called scholars who contend that the Lord is said to be a body made of matter, just like not a human being. Not knowing his inconceivable power, the foolish man placed the Lord on an equal level with ordinary men. Because his full of inconceivable potencies, God can access our service through any sort of medium, and he can convert his different potencies according to his own will. Non-believers argue,
the
Lord cannot
represent
himself at all, or that he doesn't in a form of material energy.
He not for atheists, but for those who don't believe in deity worship. So this is a typical argument of Christians and Muslims, that God cannot incarnate.
Yeah, go ahead. These arguments are nullified if they accept the existence of Lord's inconceivable potency. Then we will understand that even if the Lord appears before us in the form of material energy, it is quite possible for him to convert this energy into spiritual energy. Since the source of the energy is one and the same, the energy can be utilized according to the will of their source. For example, the Lord can appear in the form of the Archa Vigraha, a deity supposed to be made of earth, stone and or wood. Deity forms also engraved from wood, stone or matter are not idols, as the Aikonasana
content. So, the two arguments are given there. The Lord does not incarnate at all, or he has to incarnate, he has to come in a form of matter. The first argument is that, this is the argument of the Muslims, that matter is so filthy, so contaminated, so sinful, that God will never come in contact with matter. But matter is so simple. So interestingly, according to Islam, God is not omnipresent. They don't consider God to be omnipresent. But their argument is, if God is omnipresent, He is present everywhere,
then he will have been present in a body to some substance like stool. And to say that Allah is present in stool is to insult Allah.
Therefore,
they assert God is not omnipresent. So they say he is omniscient by his knowledge, but he is not omnipresent. So there is short-sighted understanding of matter as simple. But it's not that matter is simple, it is our mentality that is simple. And if we say that matter is so impure that matter cannot come in contact with God, then what are we implying by that? That matter is so powerful that it will influence God if it comes in contact with matter. Isn't it? Then actually we are not preserving the glory of God. We are actually minimizing the glory of God by giving so much power to matter. Or they say that if God has to, second argument Prabhupada is giving is, that if he has to come, if they have to come, God has to come, he has to come in the form of matter. Their idea is that, say God comes to this world, and all people with material senses, they see him, they touch him, they talk with him. Then for them to be able to interact with him, he must also be in a material form. Otherwise how can they interact? And if he has a material form, then he becomes material. Then he is no longer God. But the point is, because Krishna is omnipotent, he can come in a material form and still, you know, he can come in a form by which it seems material to others, by which others can reciprocate him, but he can still stay spiritual. Why is how is that possible for God? The soul itself is spiritual, but the soul is interacting with material body right now. Isn't it?
The soul is spiritual.
The soul is interacting with the material body. Who is making that interaction possible? That is God himself. So already God is making possible the interaction between soul and matter in every human body. Then why can't he make the interaction between spirit and matter possible between the senses of the living entities and his own spiritual body? So it's possible for God. Yes. Composition means that which is made of Satchitananda. So the Atma is Satchitananda. The spiritual world is Satchitananda. The Supreme Lord, Pararupa in the spiritual world is Satchitananda. The things of this world are made of Bhumi, Apo, Nalo, Vayu. They are Asat, Achit, Nirananda. So that is spiritual, this is material. So by composition and the differentiation between spiritual matter, that one thing is made of Satchitananda, other is made of Asat, Achit, Nirananda, Bhumi, Apo, Nalo, Vayu. That's what I am. So this difference has to be very clear in our mind also. Now, then there is another categorization of spiritual material by application, by usage. So now when the that is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, that is used for Krishna's service, it becomes spiritualized. Now what does spiritualization mean? Spiritualization does not mean that it doesn't say Asat, Achit, Nirananda. The components are still made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Like yesterday we were discussing that even in the Lord manifests through material manifestations, the material manifestations obey the laws of material nature. But the error is to say that matter is all that there is. So when we say something has become spiritualized, like the same example, when we put iron in fire,
Now what has happened? The property of fire has got added to iron. The heat of fire has got added to iron. That's why when we touch it, it will burn like fire. Now to think that this is just iron is wrong. But again, if you keep it away from fire for some time, you will find if you light a stick, light it with a matchstick, it will not burn like fire. So when iron comes in contact with fire, the property of fire gets added to iron. And therefore the mistake is to think that it is only iron. It is iron which has been imbued with the fiery property of fire, the heat property of fire. So like that, when we use material things in Krishna's service, at that time the spiritual property gets added to it. It gets added to it. And therefore, to think of it only as matter is wrong. So prasad is made of material elements. But there is a very beautiful chapter in the Antalila, a very esoteric title chapter, chapter 16 I think, of Antalila. It says, Lord Krishna tastes the nectar, Lord Chaitanya tastes the nectar of Krishna's lips. So, Lord Chaitanya tastes the nectar of Krishna's lips. And what is the whole chapter about? More than half of the chapter is about the glories of prasad. And the prasad is actually tasted Krishna's lips, and Krishna's saliva is there in the prasad. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya tastes prasad. Then he says it's the nectar of Krishna. And then the Kalida, Jagadhapur pastime is there in that chapter only. And then later on, after that, he describes how Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani is saying, how this flute is tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips. But we gopis are not allowed to taste the nectar. We don't have that opportunity. Then it becomes a little more esoteric. But the point is that prasadam is cooked with material elements. But it is offered to Krishna, Krishna's sweetness manifests. So, when it is spiritual by application, that means that it may be material still by composition, but the spiritual aspect is added to it. The spiritual aspect is added to it. And that means the spiritual. Does it answer the question? In the case of deities also, we see that, for example, in Jagannath, they have the celebration of Navkaleram. Navkaleram means, there's a Brahmana who, with closed eyes, with closed hand in the glove, who put his hand, body in the, put his hand in the, put his form of Jagannath, and he takes out the prana of Jagannath. And then he imbues the prana in another form. And then Jagannath is a new body. So I asked Arahant Maharaj the question. It is simply the leader of the Lord to give more service to his devotees. So the deity is non-different from Krishna, that is true. But this non-difference means that it's at a level of perception. It's at a level of perception and non-difference is there. For us, it's a matter of faith to accept that the deity is non-different from Krishna. For a pure devotee, there is no difference between the things. Krishna is reciprocating to me. But at the same time, it's like in this verse, Namadarashtra song, where he is praying, my dear Lord, I want to see you. What is that? Namo Deva Damodara Anantarishno, Prasila Prabho Dukkha Chalabhimukna, Krupa Krishna Krishna Dhinam Katana, Krihanesha Mamadhyam Eja Chirishya. I want to see with these eyes. So, in the purport to that, Srinath Goswami describes that the darshan of the Lord in meditation or the darshan of the Lord is really glorious. But even higher than that is the sakshat darshan. So now, Srinath Goswami is seeing the Lord very clearly, Damodar, in meditation. Idam te vapurnasa gopalavala. He is seeing that. But what is he? Edyakshidusha, I want to see you with these eyes. So, there is a some speciality to directly see Krishna also. So, that's why the deity is not different from Krishna. But as we discussed earlier, the deity may also follow the laws of material nature. That's why we don't generally face the big deities.
participate, the big deity, the paint may come off and the deities may get damaged. So Jama will be debating with some murtis. And the deities have to be taken care of properly. Because the Lord is spiritual, but the spiritual Lord is manifestly how it is. When we say the Lord is not different from the deities, the Lord exists in the spiritual world. And as long as the Lord is manifesting to the deity and the Lord are not different. But the Lord and the deity are non different. But if there are three people in the temple, there is one person the pure devotee, another is father, and third is the atheist. All three are personally different. So, but, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Jaiva Dharma that actually, if we are in bodily consciousness, then if our consciousness is achit, is material, we will see the deity as material. If our consciousness is mental speculative, we will imagine the speculative connection between the deity and the Lord, and deity and God. And if our consciousness is spiritual, we will see that the deity and the Lord are non-different. So that means that the non-difference of the Lord and the deity is because the Lord is manifesting as a deity. So the Lord is manifesting as a deity, and therefore the thing of the deity only as matter is wrong. But that doesn't mean the deity is not made of material. The deity is made of material elements, but because Krishna is manifesting, the material element is transformed into spiritual. Because spirituality is manifesting to them. But at the same time, the laws of materiality will apply on the deity also. And that's why we have to take care. Is it clear? Let me complete the PPT. Is other question about deity worship? Okay, we'll come there. About? Questions about? Okay, then let's complete the PowerPoint. Yeah, let's go. Read this and then go to the PowerPoint. Okay. Can you go please read it? Where is my? In our present state.
In our present state of imperfect material existence, we cannot see the perfect reason. And those devotees who want the spirit by means of material reason are favored by the Lord for appears in the so-called material form. The acceptance devotee service must not think the devotees who are in the lower stage of devotional service are worshipping an idol. They are actually worshipping the Lord when they greet the appear before them in a conventional way. Now is the archa form patient fashion according to the views of the worshipper. This form is eternally existent with all its paraphernalia. This can be actually felt by a sincere devotee but not paraphernalia.
Yeah. So some Mayavadis, they try to say actually God does not have a form, but because we cannot think about a formless, so therefore to help us in our meditation, we can assume that God has a form. So, and we can meditate on that form, but ultimately we have to go beyond that form. So, you know, this sort of arguments, they are first of all non-shastric. And secondly, they weaken our case. Like there is the Sushil preacher. So he says, so you say that for less intelligent people, you need a form. Then the Muslims don't need a form, therefore they are more intelligent. And you become Muslim, then you become more intelligent. This is a cheap argument. Because, and he would make that argument because the fundamental premise which the Hindus are advancing is wrong. Deities are not for the less intelligent. Deities are for everyone. But they are especially for the less intelligent in the sense that the Kanishka Adhikari, which Prabhupada will discuss about in the next purport, Kanishka Adhikari cannot see God anywhere except as a deity. But the Madhyam Adhikari, it is not that when he becomes advanced, he stops seeing God as a deity. He sees God as a deity and he sees God everywhere also. And Uttam Adhikari also sees God everywhere, including the deity. So, it's not that we go beyond deity worship. Actually, it's not that deity worship is for less intelligent, and then you become more intelligent, you don't need a deity. Rather, if you can't see God in a deity, then you are less than less intelligent. So for the less intelligent people, God is manifesting as a deity, and you can't see God as a deity also. Then you are not more intelligent, but less than less intelligent. That is, when God is manifesting as a material form, even then you cannot see God. Then what can you see God as a spiritual form? Yes. This last part. This is the fourth, next paragraph about it. Yeah.
The Lord says that how he treats his devotee is another devotee's degree of surrender.
allowed just the right not only himself to anyone and everyone, but to show himself only to those souls who surrender unto him. Thus for the surrendered souls, he is always within reach, whereas for the unsurrendered souls, he is far away and cannot be approached.
So beautifully now, Prabhupada is taking the Sadhuva Bhagavan TK and applying it to deity worship. Saying if you are surrendered, Lord is right in front of you as a deity. And if you are unsurrendered, you cannot see God or even though in front of Vipatan TK. Long with PT, I just will rush through it.
Yes, yeah.
First question that you identified. And
thought
I'm supposed
to be a
question.
This song is in every condition with all that is in you. What is it
that? Now we are talking about the spiritual form. The spiritual form is existing with all that is in India. I mean, the deity is made according to Pranapatishtha and Netrondavan is done, Netrondavan eye opening is done, then that eternal form manifests as a deity. So, what is eternal is the form of the spiritual world, and that form manifests as a deity. So, this is the whole deity. So, this is a presentation she gave in Hindu groups and other Rotary clubs. Other places where people have a lot of questions. So the first level, you know. So deity worship cannot be understood as long as you are at the level of fear, desire, and need. It is very difficult to understand. Now when we come to love, even among the four sampradayas, even the Gaudiya sampradaya alone is largely talked about rasa. Other aspects of it, they experience rasa, but they are not experience rasa. No matter what other, I will explain temporary. But the devotional rasa is eternal. Because it is not dependent on the body and the mind, it is at the level of the soul. So it will be rooted to the body. Now, before we can understand whether God has a form. So now if you want to love can only be with a person. Now, is God a person with a form? The basic definition, you know. God is source of everything. Then, you see everything in this world has a form, you might see God not have a form. So now, the typical Semitic objection is that your God's form is anthropomorphic. You know, we humans have a form and that's why we assume that God has a form like us. But if you look at it, what does the Bible say? Man is made in the image of God. It doesn't say God is made in the image of man. So it is God, it is simply egocentric to think that we have made God in our image. So after God has made us in his image. And it's not that God's form is like ours, it's our form is like God. So we have to understand what the truth is from scripture. It's like physics we understand on life, so we understand from scripture. So now, this is very nice, these are all verses from the Bible which talk about the form of God. The feet, the fingers, the hand, the ears. Many more verses are like that. Now, the eyes, human form. Now, this is from Muslims are once again, so they are given properly. Which version of Quran you are using, which version of Hadith you are using. So, Hadith I mentioned is Sahih al Bukhari. So, this is the Hadith. So, SD is not Shimon Tawata, it is Sahih Bukhari. So this face of Allah, eye of Allah, foot of Allah, hands of Allah, like that. The laughter of Allah, the image of Allah. And the same thing, man created God in his own image, Allah created Adam in his complete shape and form. Very clear. So now Bhagavatam describes the form of God in much more detail, both the initially the Paramatma form and then the Bhagavan form.
So now, all the Hindus they don't accept idol worship, but they also have some material representations. Now, basically everybody needs sensory experience of God. Because we are the sensory platform, so we need some sensory experience of God. So that's why they will turn in a particular direction. They will worship, they will, like when the Jews say, they will worship the Torah, their scripture. The Sikhs will worship the Guru Granth Sahib. And Christians also, although the commandment against making idols is there, but still they also depict the Virgin and Jesus. Now what happens is, there are two extremes of thought. One is impersonalism, the other is pantheism. As it is, pantheism means that everything is God and matter is God. And they think that therefore because matter is God, you can assume any form and give it to God. But impersonalism means because matter has form and matter is temporary and God is eternal, therefore God cannot have personality, God cannot have form. So these are two extremes. Krishna says, bhavnam yamnam ante, one will come to the correct understanding. Now when the Lord comes as a deity, now this is the most of things know these things. And the most important point here is these two types of symbolism. Now we have sanction versus speculation. Sanction versus speculation. Prabhupada posed what? This is wrong. Now this is an important point. There are two types of symbolism. Now this itself could take a whole class to explain. I'll explain briefly. Ascending symbolism and descending symbolism. Ascending symbolism means that there is some abstract conception and we represent that abstract conception with a concrete form like nationhood. Nationhood is an abstract conception. I love India. So what do I love? Do I love the mountains? Do I love the river? How do I express my love? Therefore, I give a form, the flag, and I will offer my salute to the flag. And if somebody burns the flag, I will get angry. So this is ascending symbolism. Ascending symbolism means the concept is abstract, intangible, and because we cannot express our emotions towards the abstract, intangible, so we ascribe to it a concrete, tangible form. Now, in this kind of symbolism, the Mayavadi is saying the deity is like this. The deity, the Brahman is formless, and we ascribe a form to the Brahman, and that's why they have the concept of Ishtadaiva. Whichever God you want to worship, you can worship. Of course, you can worship me also. Because I am also a form of Brahman. That's why our the Guru becomes Bhagavan for him. Because all devas are forms of the Brahman. And you know, I have offered you the most love, I have offered you the most care. So I think you can feel more emotions for me than for Krishna or Ram or anyone else. Then you worship me only. It becomes like that. But the problem now in this particular ascending symbolism, there is no inherent connection between the symbol and the symbolized. So if today we don't like, if Indian society, we don't like this form, flag, can Indians change the flag? They can. They change the flag. So like that people think, oh, I don't like this deity so much. I just like Ganesh. I don't like it. Now I change it. I worship Shiva. So this is actually the way Mayavadi's deity worship. Jayapataka Maharaj has that experience when he went to meet Shankaracharya, you know, when Prabhupada came first time to Mayapur, to Puri, at that time, all of you know the story. So Prabhupada said that the devotees have given up everything for Krishna, they are falling for the youth, for Jainis, Sivaram, see, they are all inside it. So the head of Devana Temple said, you go and talk to Shankaracharya of that, Govardhan Math. If he allows, then he will allow. Then Jayapataka Maharaj went to Shankaracharya and he found that in his book the beautiful lyrics of Radha Krishna is summarized. Then he remembered that Prabhupada told in the morning walk that when the Mayavadis get bored with their Mayavad, they do deity worship for a change. So then Shankaracharya came and Maharaj explained the whole thing. Shankaracharya said, it's very good that you are practicing bhakti, continue in this way. In your next life, when you born as a Hindu, then you can have the sensation. So he refused it. It was quite firm about it. Polite but firm. And then Jyotam, can I ask one question?
Yes.
You are following Advaita Vedanta or Shankaracharya.
Then why are you worshipping Radha? How come you are worshipping Radha Krishna?
who is worshipping Radha Krishna? I am worshipping myself. I am worshipping myself. So I am Brahman, that is Brahman. So I am worshipping myself. That is an idea of deity worship. So
it's quite a frightening idea.
So this is ascending symbolism. And that's why many people don't feel at all anything objectionable when people imagine some form of God also. Like now, most of the Arjuna temples, they have a deity which is written in Arjuna temple, Bharat Mata deity. Now where did Bharat Mata come from? The idea of loving one's creation is good. I mean it's not paradharma, it's aparadharma. It's good. But if you make a deity out of that, it's wrong. So they have made a deity exactly like Durga. Durga is Bhu Devi. They say that they have made Durga exactly like Durga. And she is sitting on a tiger. And she has a tricolor flag. The tricolor flag was invented in the 20th century, 1905 or something like that. How do you put tricolor in Durga's hand? So what I thought is in the theater, it's something. So you can put any form that you want. So this is the problem. Now the other symbolism is descending symbolism. Descending symbolism, one example is that of a photo. Now, if I take a photo of Eklavya Prabhu and look at the photo, then I remember him. And now if I want to express my affection for him, I cannot change the photo. I cannot put somebody else's photo and I can say, you know, I still love Eklavya. It doesn't work. You know, if a husband, he takes the photo of some other woman instead of his wife. He says, I am looking at this photo, I am expressing my love for you. So why will be, why express my love for you now? Isn't it? So, in the ascending symbolism, there is an intrinsic, inseparable connection between the symbol and the symbolized. The photo and the person who photographed, they are connected. You cannot change the photo and say that it's the same person. So that's why, what is the main reason in Islam, Christianity, Judaism, there is a strong aversion, hatred and condemnation of deity worship or of idolatry or deity worship? That is because because in their scriptures they know the scripture of the form of God. So their only understanding of the idol is from the previous understanding of ascending symbolism. That is, God, we don't know how God is. So we, in order to express our devotion, offer the devotion to an absolute symbol. But then they say that what happens by this is, when you offer devotion to a symbol, you become so attracted and infatuated with a symbol that you forget the person of the symbol. And in this way, by ascribing a form to God and worshipping God as an idol, you actually betray God and go away from God. That is their logic. Is this point clear? They said, like we attend something called Niyamagraha. Like you do the rule just for the sake of doing the rule. So like that they say, you worship the symbol just for the sake of the symbol and you forget that you have to go beyond the symbol. Therefore they say, have no symbol at all. In fact, having a symbol will actually distract you from going beyond God. And those who are symbol, they are permanently stuck at the lower level, at the material level, and therefore symbol should be destroyed. In fact, to symbolize God is to make this commission against God. That is the answer. Yes. Please come here. I think what about the form of Jesus? I think I answered this question that Pope John Paul said that when the Christianity was spread in India, it should become more Christian in essence and more Indian in form. Outside India, so they are there only me. There are three sects of Christianity. There is the Catholic Church, there is the Orthodox Church, and there is the Protestant Church. The Protestants are totally against any form of symbolism. The Protestant Church, there are no pictures also. The Orthodox Churches,
they have lots of rituals. In fact, they need to make even the icons. And they have this. Now, Catholic churches, some places have, some places don't have. So, that's why in Christianity, so in Judaism and Islam, it's a very strongly based ideology. Again, any representation of God. In Christianity, the opinion is vague. But they say that if at all you are a symbol, it's a symbol of Jesus and Virgin, nobody else. So, no, I think apart from that, they're their own thing. They slowly consider Krishna and Ram and Shiva and everyone as no way God, but as forms of the devil. Yeah. They, I don't answer this question yesterday also. That they consider Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son to be made of the same divine substance. And therefore equally worship. Yes.
What I explained that why is the main thing that there are many people, but why is something that you have to be in the devil?
Okay, so that logic is considered. Why would they consider that the forms in which we are worshipping to be devil? Because they consider, see, the beginning of this religion, as it's understood by their proponents, is very exclusive. That this is the way to God. In fact, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is, your God is a jealous God and you should not worship any other God in front of him. Your God is a jealous God and you should not worship any other God in front of him. So they consider that in the other religions, whatever God has said, they are the other God. And our God will be jealous. And therefore we should not worship. So now in the Vedic culture, are there other gods? They are, but they are not Christians, they are not competitors. Sometimes they become competitive, it's a lot of subordinate. Like Indra becomes a competitor, God punishes them. But Krishna is not envious. Krishna only empowered them to say that particular one. Krishna is not envious of them. And the point is, they consider that in order for our worship to be undivided, we have to be fixed on the one God that is described in the Bible. And they don't consider any other scripture to be a human scripture. And because they don't consider any other scripture to be a human scripture, therefore, they think that whatever the scriptures are given in other religions, they are not about God, and they are distracting people from God. Now, who distracts people from God? There is a devil. Therefore, all other forms that we worship are the forms which the devil has assumed to seduce people away from the true God. So our understanding is known only of descending symbolism. Because you know descending symbolism, for example, if I see a photo of a Eklavya and I feel affection for him. Now in the photo Eklavya will not be able to see. The deity is much more than a descending symbolism. But for our understanding, you can say that at least this point is conveyed by this point, by the descending symbolism, that you cannot change the symbol and still refer to the same symbol. Symbol and symbolize have to be the same. So in this, through this concept of ascending and descending symbolism, we can address both the concerns of the Semitic religion and we can also refute Mayavadi notions. So this is talked about by Bhaktivinoda Thakur quite a bit in his books, several books, Tatva Kaustubh and Jaiva Dharma, as well as in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Yeah, he talks about it quite a bit. And of course, he doesn't use these terms because some of these books are also in Bengali. So the devotees are translated, they have used these terms for that. So it is consumption versus speculation. So now, all of you know this example, isn't it? The new currency is just paper. But if you tear currency, you lose money. And if you use currency, you gain so much. Isn't it? So like that, you worship the deity, you gain so much, far more than what you worship a stone. If you use money, properly we can earn so much. Now you see that the only way we can be, because they are so much attracted to form, it's interesting, in Islam, they are banned to depict any forms of God. Therefore now in the mosque, when they have to decorate, they have only forms of nature and geometrical forms. So there are intricate triangles, rectangles, pentagons, hexagons on their rugs, in their walls, in their roofs. The human urge to make artistic forms cannot be denied. They do that. They cannot look in God, they are looking nature and looking geometry. What is the use? It's so unfortunate. So, filter forms are for us to become liberated. Now, when you do pranapratishtha, actually the Lord manifests. As the Prabhupada explained, there are many different kinds of pranapratishtha. So, and previously also in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Gopal Bhatta Goswami explains that actually there is also temporary, generally Vaishnavas don't do this, but there is also sort of a temporary avahan of the Lord. Just like even Ganesh Puja they do. In Ganesh Puja, they actually invite the Lord for maybe 10 days or something and then they do visarjan. So that is accepted in the scripture. You can do avahan and then you can do visarjan. You can call the Lord and then you can ask the Lord to leave. So now, we remember, if you remember Radha Maharaj's book Journey Home, there, Ghanshyam Baba, what he was doing? He was writing the word Radha. And he was worshipping that, and then he was carefully using that. That's like avahan and research. So you call the Lord and invite him to accept worship, and then you tell him to leave. So that is also mentioned in the scripture. But generally, the Vaishnavas don't worship, at least Vaishnavanathan Pudai, don't worship temporary forms. When we do avahan, we actually do pranapratishtha. And the form is permanent, and then we worship it, the form regularly. Now, this is Prabhupada explaining that how. So now, as we just discussed, how can divinity be separated? Divinity is not manifested by its potential to break the material law. Somebody can rip the Quran also. Somebody can burn Quran, somebody can burn Bible. That doesn't prove that they are not sacred. So Aurangzeb might do that, but somebody else can do the same thing with their scripture. Now, this is Pillailokacharya. Can somebody read it? Very sweet. I have explained yesterday, but
this is the greatest grace of the Lord. That being free, he becomes bound. Being independent, he becomes dependent on all his enemies of the world. Seven forms, man belongs to God, but he holds the supreme sacrifice of Ishvara, Krishna, in the form of devotee. So he has ultimately become the progress of the devotee. Devotee carries the Lord about, chants him, speaks him, prays with him, yes, the infinite has become a man. So let the chant soul may grasp, understand, and love.
Infinite has become finite. So, now if you look at the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, the Lord breaks the laws of nature. The normal law of nature is that as a duty, the duty doesn't do any activity to our senses. Now, the Lord will not do any duty, activity even if somebody comes difficult. So, the Lord is not there to prove his omnipotence. But the Lord is so concerned that my devotee has a desire, and not only is his desire not fulfilled, but what is his desire? I want to take that cue. But he is thinking that by having this desire, I have committed a fraud. So Lord is so concerned about his devotee and his devotee's emotion that he breaks the laws of nature not to prove his omnipotence but to prove his love. And he steals the pot and keeps it behind. And then he comes in a dream and he reveals that pot and he reveals that whole dream to the jari. So the Lord is there to reciprocate love, not to prove his omnipotence. So there is a lot more in the history, and there are some examples of how many deities have reciprocated with devotees at different times. We don't have time for that. Let's go over the remaining. Yeah. So now, because deity worship is very much related to Sarva and Nirguna, Prabhupada explains these two terms. Yes, please, who is reading?
The Lord supposed that you are inside, and if the Lord is here for a serious quality, he must take on a material form and be subject to the laws and regulations. For him, there is no difference between the material and the spiritual being, because he energy is the source of all energy. As the controller of all energy, he cannot at any time be under the existence as we are. The material energy works on the resurrection.
Yeah.
Therefore, he can use that energy for his purpose without ever being influenced by any other energy that can be used. Not that the Lord becomes a formless entity at any time, but ultimately he is the eternal form, the primeval law. His impersonal aspect of
So Prabhupada says Nirguna does not mean that there is no quality, but that he is beyond material quality, not influenced by material quality. So we discussed earlier also another meaning of Nirguna and Tamuna. Good refers not just to quality but to mode. So we are all beyond mode, but that doesn't mean that he is beyond quality. He is beyond the quality produced by the mode. He has come in quality. Now Prabhupada will give an example how Talantarasya Sarvasya, how the Lord is inside everything, still being separate. Yeah.
When the child says, Allah, was in the presence of his father asked him, where is your God? When Allah replied, that God is like a figure, the father simply asked, where his God was, being one of the pillars of his palace. And the child said, I know that his team scattered the pillars in front of him to teachers, and the Lord instantly appeared as his human, the half-man, half-life incarnation, and still the essence. Thus the Lord creates everything, and he creates everything by his different energies. Through his insensible power, he can appear at any place in order to favor his sensual devotees. The Lord Nishina appears from within the pillar, not by the order of the essence team, but by the wish of his devotee for love. And essence cannot order the Lord to appear, for the Lord will appear anywhere and everywhere.
So the example of this, the Lord can appear anywhere and everywhere to show mercy to his devotees. So you think of any example in the past tense? Ajendra. No, let's talk about Didi. Bhakti
Gopal.
Yeah, Bhakti Gopal, excellent. Then any other example in the Goswami's life? Yeah, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So in one sense, he was worshipping Shalagram, which is also a deity, but else he couldn't address the deity, he couldn't reciprocate the deity from right. So then he wanted to worship the deity in a different kasta. So actually Lord had told him that, Lord Chaitanya told him, I will appear to you once again in the future. And his guru told him that he worshipped the Shalagram. So he got a Shalagram and he worshipped him when he was lamenting. When is the Lord going to manifest himself? When will I meet from the Lord? And that night of Nasimha Devi, when he fell asleep, the next morning, you know, he would, the Shalagram Shila, he would keep an altar, and the altar he would wind up and keep in a basket. And the next morning, when he woke up, he found the basket snake was still dead. So, you know, maybe a snake had gone inside at night. So then he took a stick and tried to take it, and he found there was no snake inside. And then he moved aside and he found the Shalagram Shila transformed into a beautiful beauty, Radharamani. So this duty is so exquisitely calm and so beautiful. That's how the Lord manifests. So the Lord manifests according to anywhere and everywhere. He can manifest to a pillar, he can manifest to a Shalagram Shila for the purpose of his devotion, for showing mercy to his devotion. Yeah.
Alright? The Lord appears in order to manifest non-believers and protect believers. Of course, the Lord has sufficient energy and agent who can diagnose at least, but it pleases him to personally favor a devotee. Therefore, he descends as an incarnation. Actually, he descends only to favor his devotee and not for any other purpose.
Yeah, that is the primary purpose of the Lord. And everything else is secondary.
Right.
In the Brahma Samhita 5.25, it is said that Govinda, the primary Lord, enters everything by his entry portion.
Which is this word? The Lord enters everything? Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastha.
He enters the universe as well as all the items of the universe. He is outside, he is
is Virat form, and he is within everything as Antaryami. As Antaryami, he witnesses everything that is going on, and he awards us the result of our actions as karma phal. We ourselves may forget what we have done in previous life, but because the Lord witnesses our actions, the results of our actions are always there, and we have to undergo the reactions nonetheless.
Yes. So now, Prabhupada is now explaining in a more philosophical and universal sense. Satantarasa sarvasutra sarvasya asya bahaya. And now this somebody may say that, oh, this deity form appears to some people, now still they appear to some people, to large. But what does Satantarasa sarvasya is that? Paramatma. So sarvasya asya bahaya tha is that Virata Rupa. And as Antaryami, he is going to see our activity when he was with us. Now the last paragraph is a summary of the book. So Prabhupada is basically in this way of explaining how the Lord is everywhere and is still separate. Yes.
The fact is that there is nothing but Lord within and without. Everything is an manifestation of His different energies, like the heat and light emanating from the fire. And in this way, there is oneness among these diverse energies. Although there is oneness, however, the Lord in His personal form still enjoys unlimitedly all the pleasures enjoyed momentarily by the tiny part and parcel of the
human. Yes. The Lord is, so the Prabhupada is slowly going to take us. After you cross the religion, you will take us to Hatha Kapata. You see, there is much more in the 8th verse. The Parigar Shukran. So Krishna is not just present everywhere. His self-existence where he is, he enjoys. And he is enjoying unlimitedly everything that he enjoys. A tiny limited ability. And that revelation is something you need to worry about. God has that enjoy of everything. We will discuss this tomorrow. But let me summarize. We started by discussing about the achintyatva of God, how He exists beyond the fabric of time and space, and can exist and manifest at any place or at many places, at any time or at many times, within time and space. In that first connection, we also discussed about how Krishna subdued his Vantike at 4 levels. How is 4 levels?
Close to the devotees,
far away from the non-devotees. He is as Bhagwan Sadhguru, as Paramatma, very close. Then he is far away in usual situation, but as soon as we call, he is very close immediately. And he is far away, the spiritual world, he manifests as a deity. Even as a deity, he is very close for the devotee, for the 80s, he is far away. Sadhguru is going to give an elaborate explanation. And that's when he will discuss about the descending and ascending from body. So, the Lord has a particular form, and when that form is depicted, then that form, that depiction directly represents for God. It not only represents, but because God manifests through it. And so He receives our worship. That's why that form cannot be changed. And this understanding clarifies the concerns of the worship of the Semitic religions and refutes the notion of the Mayavadi. And explains the beauty worship of the systematic. So now in the next verse onward, we will be starting with how does one get this vision? Understand the absolute. These 5 verses I will talk about as we discuss how the Mahabharata sees and understands the intensity of the Lord. But so now within these 2 verses, how does one get that vision? So these 2 verses, 4 and 5, describe the qualities of the absolute. 6 and 7 will describe the qualities of the transcendentalist who can understand that absolute. And 8 will describe how this enlightened transcendentalist understands the absolute. That's the last
question.
Okay.
It doesn't become God. No, it is only the material Lord. But it is God.
Correct.
Not very specific.
No, at the same time, Prabhupada also uses the word that when some fanatic attacks him, the Lord unmanifests him. So, now we have to understand that, I think we'll have to discuss again tomorrow. That like the holy name is not different from the letters of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or the sound of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Dinaranjanaya Paramaksharaka. By the same time, there is a gradation. there is what is Shuddhana, there is Namabhava, and there is Aparajna. Now all of this are carrying the same direction on. But depending on the consciousness of the direction on the chanted, the Nama Prabhu manifests partially or fully.
From the observer side, it is not able to access the Mahasimodi. And you know, he used that situation that he's not able to access the full potency of Nama. Nama is an example.
Correct.
Similarly, if God remains Lord, now only the condition of Mother Devi, the condition of Mother Devi,
appreciate that he is the deity. Well, you have to do the Prana Pratishtha. If Krishna were always a deity, then they are going to do the Prana Pratishtha. Then when you say that the Lord manifests? So when one of the Prana Pratishtha is done, Krishna is the deity. Once the Prana Pratishtha is done, Krishna has manifested through the deity, and Krishna has become non-different from the deity. So Krishna is the deity. Thank you very much, Sri Shri Shri Shri. The Prabhupada, the Gaur, the Bhakti.